The images in recent weeks of footage and photos of Israeli hostages released from Gaza, many of them emaciated, gaunt, and visibly traumatized, has had an unexpected, although perhaps not so unexpected, and deeply painful ripple effect across Israel's Holocaust survivor community. For many survivors, these images have stirred visceral memories of the ghettos and camps of starvation, fear, and the inescapable grip of helplessness. Some Holocaust survivors have described the feeling as being thrown back in time, and others say it's the first time in decades that they've felt this level of emotional shock. Well, I'm joined now on the line by Colette Avital from the Center Organization of Holocaust Survivors in Israel, which advocates for and supports thousands of survivors across the country. Colette, thanks so much for chatting with us again. How widespread has this reaction been? Are you hearing from many survivors who are emotionally triggered by these recent images?
I really don't think there has been a dry eye in Israel altogether, certainly among the Holocaust survivors. First and foremost, because the images have been so ghastly, so terrible. I mean, you see such cruelty, and certainly for Holocaust survivors, those who have been in camps, that brings back memories to them. And there has been really, we've seen a lot of reactions. There has been yesterday a small group of Holocaust survivors from Auschwitz meeting with the families of the abducted of our hostages in Gaza. So yes, I think the reaction is strong and is all over the place among Holocaust survivors, certainly, but among all the population.
Colette, in this meeting you described yesterday, are Holocaust survivors able to offer any comfort or any sense of anything to the families who are waiting for their loved ones to be released from Gaza?
There have been meetings since October the 7th between Holocaust survivors and some of the families, and also some of the victims, I mean, those who survived and had saw their families massacred in front of their eyes. And Holocaust survivors have been very helpful in trying to teach them how they survived and how and what resilience means. So there have really been meetings that have been take place between women survivors, groups of survivors with groups of survivors of October 7th. And certainly some of the survivors have been in touch with the families of the hostages all the time.
Colette, you know, one often reads that the pictures that we saw of some of these hostages are like Holocaust survivors, and that the conditions they're in are reminiscent of the Second World War. In general, do Holocaust survivors agree with those comparisons, or do they not like the comparison being made between what's happening today and what happened in the Holocaust?
Okay, that's a question of timing also. I mean, when are those comparisons and how are they made? If somebody a few days after October 7th said that this is Holocaust, nobody among our groups agreed to that, because you cannot compare an event, a terrible event, which really happened, but happened only one day, with a Holocaust which lasted for so many years and which killed 6 million Jews. Those are not comparable. And so many of us didn't like the comparisons. But when you see images of those two young men who cannot stand on their feet, who are skeletons, who have been submitted to terrible hunger, who've lost more than half of their weight, one of them digging his grave, I think that comparisons of the conditions become much more tangible, much more true. So this is why I'm saying that you cannot compare October 7th with the Holocaust, but you compare some of the cruelty. You can certainly compare some of the cruelty of the abductors of the Hamas people to the Nazis, and sometimes to some of us, I'm sorry to say, it looks like not only the Hamas have learned from the Nazis, but they have surpassed them.
You were talking about the images of one of the hostages, Evyatar David, having to dig his own grave. We spoke with his cousin yesterday, and I asked his cousin what would she want to say to the world, and she said that the hostages must be released and that the world must stop being quiet. On the Holocaust survivors that you talk to, do they make a comparison between how the world is reacting to the hostage situation in Israel right now and how the world reacted during the Holocaust? Do they feel that in both cases you can say there was anti-Semitism and there was silence?
I don't think that this is not exactly the comparison I'm hearing, but what I'm hearing more and more is the fact that what you see today in anti-Semitism, if people don't realize it, this is what leads to violence. This is what, at the end of the day, the Holocaust would not have been possible had there not been such a wave of anti-Semitism, and not just of anti-Semitism, of brainwashing of people, of dehumanizing people, of telling a whole population in Germany and perhaps in other countries that Jews are not human beings. They're like cockroaches. So I think that more and more people understand where such hatred can lead. And there is real fear, and I think that certainly I'm thinking of your community, I'm thinking of what is happening to Jewish communities around the world, who are really today subjected not only to insults and to curses, but some of them to physical violence. And we've seen what has been happening in Australia and what has been happening in Canada and in other places in the world. And you see that anti-Semitism and hatred can lead to action. And this is what we're worried about.
You talk about our community, the South African Jewish community, and the last question really is something to help the community. We did talk about this before, but I think many people are re-traumatized, whether they were in the Holocaust or not in the Holocaust. You mentioned survivors meeting with families of hostages and also hostages who've been released and sharing with them how to be strong and resilient and move on or build a life. Can you share with us some of the advice or some of the encouragement that Holocaust survivors are sharing?
I really do not know. I haven't been able to make a list of, but they're saying that in general, I think that the Holocaust survivors are a living example. And I think, by the way, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that this is a characteristic of our people. It's not the first time in history that we've been suffering. There have been pogroms in the past, and every time the Jews have known to raise on their feet and to start all over again. And I haven't seen this kind of characteristic among other populations in the world. I mean, in many ways, this is part of Jewish history and this is part of Jewish identity. So I think that many of them, by telling their stories, by saying, look, this is what happened to me. And when I came out of the camps, I weighed only 36 kilos. And I thought that I would never be able to have a family. And within a few months, I was on my feet and I met someone. And here I am. And I have children and I have contributed to my country. And I have made a life. And today I have children and grandchildren. So this is possible. And if I've done it, you can do it too.
The images from Gaza, Colette, have shocked the world. And for some, as you mentioned, particularly Holocaust survivors, they've reopened wounds that never fully healed. Many thanks. And thank you for your time, for the work you continue to do supporting Holocaust survivors. As we navigate today's horrors, may we never forget the echoes of the past that still live among us. That's Colette Avital of the Center Organization of Holocaust Survivors in Israel.